Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is truth? Have you ever asked that question? Are you tired of living in a world of lies? Do you live in a world of lies and don't know it? Have you been deceived and think you're right? Let's look at what the Bible says about human nature very quickly. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." Has that happened to you and others that you know? Maybe you haven't died, but maybe things haven't turned out right. Jeremiah said, "Oh Lord, the way of man is not in himself to direct his paths. Oh, correct me in mercy." He also said, the heart. I want you to think about this, because everyone thinks that his way or her way is right, even though it may be totally wrong. Or they're justified in thinking what they're thinking because to them, it's right. And the proverb says, every way of a man is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Now, do you consider yourself to be a Christian? And as we've said many times, 92% of people believe there is a God. Millions, billions consider themselves to be Christians, but are they really? Oh, yes, how could all these people be wrong? Ever thought of that? Why don't you reverse the question? When has the majority ever really been right? Now, when we talk about Christianity, everyone thinks that the principles of Christianity, if we can just transfer those into political parties, everything will be well. We will have the Garden of Eden on earth. Voila, politicians will be miraculously truthful. God will bless us. But it hasn't happened, has it? How many times in American history has that been tried? Now, granted, we have the best constitution in the world. And granted that the founders believed in God and believe God in many aspects of what the Bible teaches us. But is it because of them and because of American ingenuity and because of our hard work that we've been blessed with the nation that we have? Or did that blessing come another way? Because God promised it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the real reason why it came. We're not here because of our good works. And the only reason our Constitution is the way it is because men believe certain parts of the Bible. And if you believe certain parts of the Bible, you're certainly much better off than those who don't believe the Bible at all. And yet we've had people try and rewrite the history of the founders of this nation. But have you ever thought of this? Have the theologians also done the same thing? Have they used the Bible in a deceitful way to make people believe a lie and yet accept it as the truth of God? It's happened in the Christian church. And that number one lie is that Sunday is the Lord's Day. Now, I challenge you. You get your Bible, and what you are going to find is this. There is not one place from Genesis to Revelation that sanctifies the first day of the week as a replacement for the seventh day of the week, which is Saturday today. And I'll also tell you another thing to check out. If you're a good Sunday-going person and you really believe in your heart that Sunday is right and that's what you have been told, question, have you ever searched out your Bible to find out? Or are you like the evangelicals who just go through and select certain verses and they say, oh, this is the way to salvation? Like a sermon I gave recently, the Evangelical Bible, A Fast Track to Salvation. But you know what happens? They end up leaving out most of the Bible. Is it possible to leave out all these words of God and receive God's blessing and salvation, eternal life? You know what that is really saying? Have you ever thought of it? That is saying that most of the Bible was written in vain. Now, we'll approach that a little bit here, but I want you to take the challenge. Others have offered $1 million if you can find one scripture that sanctifies Sunday. Now, as we have seen, God created the Sabbath and gave it to man. And as we have seen, we are to remember the Sabbath and we are to keep the Sabbath. And you can't substitute any other day for that because God gave it. We're going to see today, men cannot change what God has established. And most people do not even know. The Catholic Church trumpets and says, we change the day because we have the power to do it. And if you don't believe we have the power to do it, why did we do it? Well, did you know that even that is not true? Did you know that it was the pagan emperor Constantine in 325 AD who decreed that all the Christian churches were to keep Sunday? Well, that didn't do away with Sabbath keeping because there are records which show even into 1000 AD, 700 years later, that true Christians were keeping the Sabbath. And Christosom, if you want to go online and look up Christosom, he was lamenting. Now, he wrote in the late 300s AD, early 400s AD, and he was saying, what are these people doing? Going down to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Well, you see, anyone who kept the Sabbath was considered a Jew, and any meeting place that they met in was considered a synagogue. And he berated them. You see, now that's 175 years after the decree by Constantine. Well, at the Council of Laodicea in the 360s AD, the Catholic Church rubber-stamped Constantine's changing of the Sabbath. Question. Do you think that a pagan emperor has the power to tell God what to do? Can any man tell God what to do? Can any preacher lie and tell you that God has sanctified the first day of the week when he never has, and say that God accepts that? Does he really? Now, God has given a great space of time for all Sunday keepers to really understand the need to keep the Sabbath. Wouldn't you say that 500 years from the beginning of the Protestant Reformation is enough time to understand that? Now, there are many people today who keep the Sabbath. And they're charged, well, you're trying to work out your own salvation. Really? Are you trying to work out your own salvation if you keep the day God commanded? Or is it not really rather the other way around? Those who keep Sunday, are they not the ones who are trying to work out their own salvation, their own deceitful human way? See, people have never thought about these things. People have never really asked those piercing, truthful questions to find out what did God say. And let's understand this. God's word is sure, his blessings and his cursings. And if you love God and keep his commandments, he will bless you. If you reject the commandments of God and are hostile to it with your carnal mind, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you want to be an enemy of God? Do you really? Well, that's my opinion. Well, I believe that. Have you ever proved it? Now let's come to Deuteronomy, the 5th chapter, because here's the second giving of the law after the children of Israel had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they're ready to go into the promised land. So Moses reiterated the 10 commandments. So if you have a Bible, get out your Bible. Every time we have church at home, get out your Bible and follow along with it. And these things are going to be, how shall we say, catalysts for you to do more study. Because we're living in a time, the most important thing you need to do in your life is, number one, know the Word of God, and number two, get right with God. Because like the old saying is, all hell is going to break loose, and it's coming. And the first key is repentance to God and keeping the Sabbath in your own home. That's why church at home. You can't go to churches anymore and learn the truth. You can't go to pastors and ask them, what is right? What should we do? Oh, you can go ask them, well, which day is the Sabbath? They'll tell you it's the seventh day. Oh, but the church changed it to Sunday. Where? I have a booklet you need. A Sabbath Sunday challenge you have never read. Now, you need to read it. You need to understand what it says. You need to understand that the Roman Catholic Church knows for sure that the seventh day is taught in the Bible and nothing else, and they won't repent to change because they think they're greater than God. And they think that the Pope has the authority of God to change anything he wants, to bless any pagan day and rename it. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 5. Verse 12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded you. Do you do that? Do you keep it? What do you do on Saturday? What do you do on Friday night? Are you keeping the Sabbath as God has commanded you? Is God obligated because you have good feelings in your heart? Is he obligated to bless you in spite of your sins? No, he's not. See, there is a Satan, the devil, and he comes along and says, well, you know, God really didn't mean what he said. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve? And didn't he tell them, well, if you do this, you'll have a benefit. Ever since this warning by Cardinal Gibbon that we have in this book, A Sabbath Sunday Controversy You Have Never Read, Protestantism has been steadily going down, 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 because they didn't heed the warning from their enemy. And now it's at the point of disintegration. Look at the Episcopal Church, homosexual bishops, lesbian bishops, marrying one another, saying, oh, this is wonderful. And now we need to figure out a communion for married homosexuals. Verse 13, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. He owns it. That's his property. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox or donkey or any of your livestock or your stranger within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as well as you. We are to rest, but we are also actively to learn of God's word. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of study. It's a time of fellowship. But the churches are so absolutely inundated with humanism and progressivism and false doctrines and teachings coming from men who think that they know more than God. And so you go to church, and what do you find? Well, one man went to church and he found the reason everyone was happy was because the pastor sent them to a psychologist and he put them on happy pills. They didn't solve their problems. Drug them up! What a wonderful church this is! Really? Is that what God wants? What's wrong with the Holy Spirit of God? What's wrong with the truth of God? What's wrong with the love of God? Now let's see what else he says. Verse 15, and remember. So there are two things we're to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, Exodus 20. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Now let's apply that today. Are we all slaves to sin? Yes, indeed. Is Egypt a type of sin in the Bible? Yes, indeed. Are we to repent of our sins? Yes, indeed. Are we to walk out and walk away from sin? And as Jesus said, sin no more? Yes, we are. That's what God has said. We're to remember that. God has called us out of this world, which he likens to Sodom and Egypt in Revelation, the 11th chapter. And is that not true? Look at the world. There is a Satan, the devil, who's deceiving the whole world, and that includes every single individual on earth except those who believe God and love God and keep his commandments. All the rest are deceived. Oh, that, it couldn't be me. I'm a good person. Really? Let's see something else here. Let's ask a question. Do you judge God? Let's come back here to Romans, the 3rd chapter. Let's see what the Apostle Paul wrote. Let's see what he said about judging God. Now, let's do it this way. God gave his word so that you would know the truth. Whenever you don't accept the truth of God, and let's apply it to the first day of the week, and you say, oh, we no longer have to keep the Sabbath. The church does the first day of the week now. They made it holy. What has just happened? You've judged God. What's going to happen to you when you judge God? Let's read it here. Romans 3. Verse 3, but what if some did not believe? That is, those of the children of Israel and the Jews. Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? Is God going to accept lies to replace his perfect truth? Is God going to accept the traditions of men to replace his perfect law? Is God going to accept the lying misinterpretations of men as a means of salvation while they reject his? Never going to happen. That's why the Sabbath day is important. That's why it is key, because that puts you in contact with God. That's why it has to start in your home. And it must begin with you as an individual, because God deals first with the individual. The world deals with the crowd. God deals with the individual and then builds with various individuals coming together, called a congregation or church of God. Verse 4, it says, may it never be. Let's put it in modern English. Ain't ever gonna happen, folks. Rather, let God be true, but every man a liar, exactly as it is written, that you, God, may be justified in your words and might overcome when you are being judged by men. And that is the true translation of that verse. Present tense, passive, judging God. Do you do that? Does your minister do that? Does he stand up in a pulpit and say nice nothings and reject the laws and commandments of God? Let's talk about now why the Sabbath day is for our benefit and blessing, and that God inherently put this within the keeping of the Sabbath day if we do it God's way. Number one, God has given us the Sabbath. It is a great gift from Him. Number two, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, not some other day we choose. Number three, God has given us 6 days to do all our work. Number four, we are to rest from our work and labor on the seventh day. Number five, the weekly Sabbath is a memorial of God's creation of heaven and earth. Number six, the Sabbath is a memorial of Israel's slavery and lack of Sabbath keeping when they were slaves in Egypt. Number seven, it is the only day of the week that God specifically blessed and made holy. Number eight, the seventh day Sabbath is a holy convocation, a day of assembly and worship, and that begins in your home with you praying and studying, searching the Word of God, searching for God, and let God's Spirit come to you, and that's the first and most important primary fellowship that you need. After that, then you can assemble with others of like mind who believe God. Now, most important is number nine. God owns the Sabbath day. It belongs to God, and He made it for mankind. It's His. So if you use it for your own purpose, you're trespassing on God's property. You're misusing God's time that He gave to you for a blessing. Let's come to James, the fourth chapter, verse 11. But if you judged the law, is that not what they do when they say, don't have to keep the Sabbath any longer? But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, and we're to be doers. Rather, you are a judge. But there's only one lawgiver who has the power to save and destroy. And who are you to presume to judge another? And who are the religionists and theologians and pastors and preachers and individuals to judge God? Are you? What are you going to do with the knowledge that the seventh day is the holy day of God every week? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to obey God? Are you going to look to Him? Are you going to have the initiative and courage that in these days of trouble and difficult time to open up your Bible at home, to read and study it, to pray to God, to repent of your sins, and start drawing close to God and start making something of your life God's way instead of your way? What will you do? That's the choice set before each one of us. And the Sabbath question is fundamental to it. There is not one, I repeat, one scripture from Genesis to Revelation that sanctifies Sunday as the weekly day of worship toward God. Now, you need to think about that. Well, thank you once again for inviting me into your home. This is Fred Coulter reminding you, please go to our other website, cbcg.org, which is christianbiblicalchurchofgod.org, and there you will find hundreds of sermons, detailed studies, transcripts you can download, and also on Church at Home, we have over 50 articles that you can download and study. So if you're really serious about God, really serious about the truth, and you want to get your life changed around, this is the place to begin, Church at Home. Thank you once again for inviting me into your home, and until next time, so long, everyone.